In this world, you will experience difficulties. Jesus promised that. But he said, take heart. I have conquered the world. He said, I've told you this so that in trusting me, you will be unshakable and deeply at peace. Jesus warned us that adversity is going to be a part of life. Don't let it blow you away. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. But you need to be unshakable. I'm telling you so you won't cave in.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. As we begin this series called Unshakable, which is based on the life of Daniel, you'll discover how to live for God no matter what comes your way. If you'd like to have the amazing Unshakable study kit, which contains 8 video sessions and a workbook, it's available right now by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word daily to 800-600-5004 for more information. That's the word daily to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called When Your World is Shaken Up.
Folks, today it seems like that all the values that create a healthy society have been turned upside down. You agree with this? I mean, it's amazing. Everything's turned inside out. And Isaiah, many years ago, thousands of years ago, warned that any culture is headed for collapse when it reverses the values that created the health of that culture in the first place. Let me show you this up here on the screen. The Bible says in Isaiah 5:20, you are doomed if you called evil good and call good evil. Destruction is certain when you call darkness light and light darkness. When right is considered wrong and what's wrong is considered right, when you claim what is bitter is now sweet and what is sweet you now call bitter. He said, you're gonna collapse. That culture is not going to last. That, my friends, actually happened 2,600 years ago to the nation of Israel. And that nation had fallen into immorality and into injustice and into idolatry. Any of those sound familiar? You know, idolizing things that aren't God, treating people unjustly and unfairly, and immorality. And there were a bunch of guys of that day. They were prophets. One was called Jeremiah. One was called Ezekiel. One was called Zephaniah. Daniel was just a young teenage boy when all this was happening. And they kept predicting. They said, guys, if we don't get our act together, we're going to lose our freedom. We're going to lose our freedom. And they were warning the nation of Israel that God was ticked at idolatry and immorality and injustice in society. And sure enough, about 600 BC, the emperor of the powerful Babylonian Empire invaded Israel. His name was Nebuchadnezzar. It was the most powerful empire of its day. And he came in, took over the entire nation of Israel, destroyed the capital city, totally destroyed the capital city of Jerusalem, and took 25% of the nation as prisoners of war back to Iraq, back to Babylon, and kept them there for 70 years. It was a disaster. They lost their freedom because they were not paying attention to what God had said. And the collapse of that culture shook everybody. Now, there was another guy. He was not a prophet. His name was Asaph. Asaph was actually a songwriter. And he wrote 12 of the Psalms in the Bible. A lot of people think that David was the only one who wrote Psalms, but Moses wrote Psalms, Solomon wrote Psalms, and a guy named Asaph wrote 12 of them. And in Psalm 82, a Psalm of Asaph, he is complaining on God's behalf, saying, the leaders and the judges in your country are not playing fair, and they are corrupt. Here's what he says. Notice here on the screen. Psalm 82, 1 to 5. God presides over heaven's court, and he pronounces judgment on the judges. He's talking about those in Israel that day. How long with you guys? How long will you judges hand down unjust decisions and show partiality? Remember we talked last week, partiality is the old English word for racism or prejudice. How long are you going to be prejudiced? Give fair judgments to the poor and to orphans. Uphold the rights of the oppressed and the defenseless. And he says there, rescue the poor and the helpless and deliver them from heartless evil people. Because the leaders are foolish and they lack understanding. People are living in dark times. And this is the whole phrase I want you to get. All the foundations of society are shaken to the core. Does that sound familiar? All the foundations of society are shaken to the core. That sounds like today's news. It seems like everything's being shaken today. Our economy and the foundations of our economy are being shaken. The way we've done government in America for hundreds of years is being shaken. Our freedom of speech and conscience and religion being shaken. Marriages are being shaken. Families are being shaken. So many things. Education is being shaken. The foundations of our moral and ethical values are being shaken. Now, we're living in a time of great upheaval when there's a lot of shakiness going on. But I'm not here to talk about doom and gloom, because this book is not about doom and gloom. It's about the answer. It's about the answer to those. And God says, no matter how bad the world gets, in a rapidly changing world, and even in a decaying culture, God says, I want you to survive, and not only that, thrive, and not only that, I want you to succeed. And so I'm starting a new series this weekend. We're going to look at the book of Daniel, a great, great book in the Old Testament, it's called Unshakable. And this series on Unshakable is how to thrive no matter what they throw at you, no matter what comes against you. And it starts with a young boy who was seeing all this happen in his life. His name was Daniel. The Daniel who wrote this book was not a famous prophet when he starts the story. It covers 70 years of his life from age 15 to age 85. He starts off as a prisoner of war. He ends up 70 years later as the second most powerful man in the most powerful empire at that time without losing his integrity. It's an amazing story of lessons for everyone at every stage and age in our culture and in our church. So this 15-year-old teenager is named Daniel, and he watches the destruction of his nation. And he's taken as a prisoner of war, one of the guys taken. They took 25% of the nation to Babylon. He's one of the ones, and he would never see his parents again, never see his family again, never see his homeland of Israel again. He would spend the rest of his life living in a foreign, hostile culture. And the book of Daniel teaches how to thrive no matter what they throw at you. We're going to study his life in detail the next 8 weeks together. But this weekend, I want to just set up the theme. And this is how the book of Daniel starts. I'm just going to read you the first 7 verses, and then we're going to look at the theme. Here's what the first 7 verses of this book say. In the 3rd year of Judah's king Jehoiakim, his reign, King Nebuchadnezzar, that's the Babylonian guy, of Babylon, besieged Jerusalem with his armies. Have you ever been besieged? Have you ever felt besieged by all the problems in your life? But all the work that you got to do and you don't have the time and the money to do it, you've ever felt like things were caving in on you? This is the way Daniel and the people of Jerusalem felt. They were besieged by Nebuchadnezzar and his armies. And it says, and God gave Nebuchadnezzar the victory. What? Nebuchadnezzar is not a godly man. He's not Jewish. He's not Christian. He's a total pagan. God gave Nebuchadnezzar the victory. Now, I'm not going to get into this, but I will just say this. God often uses pagan leaders to discipline his own children. He did it with Pharaoh. He did it with Cyrus the Persian. He did it with Darius the Mede. He did it with Nebuchadnezzar. God often uses ungodly leaders to do his will. And he let Nebuchadnezzar discipline his own children, the children of Israel. And here's what happened. So after the battle, and the whole nation is taken into captivity. When Nebuchadnezzar returned to Babylon, he took with him the best sacred objects from the temple of God in Jerusalem and put them on display in his pagan temple in Babylon. What's he doing? He's showing off. You know, see, our God's better than your God. These are supposed to be your holy things. We got them now, and they're in our foreign temple. And it says he also ordered that the best young men of Judah taken as captives to be brought to his palace. And one of those happened to be Daniel. And he says this, he told him, select only the best looking, the strongest, and the smartest young men and bring them to my palace. Okay, by the way, look up there for just a second. Did you notice that it's the same three values that we value in our culture today? Beauty and brains and brawn. Okay, he says, okay, our society is built on, if you're not academically, you know, proficient, academic aptitude, and if you don't have athletic ability, and if you don't have great appearance, you're nothing. Well, that's what he's saying. This is not a new, this is the culture of the world, that it's all about sex and salary and status. It's all about brains and brawn and beauty. It's all about academics and athletics and appearance. And King Nebuchadnezzar says, bring me the best guys. And so then they put these guys, these young teenage boys, through a three-year cultural indoctrination program. And here's what the Bible says, the rest of the verses. Make sure that they're well-versed in every branch of learning, that they're gifted with knowledge and good sense, and have the poise needed to serve in my royal palace. He's going to make them his servants. Teach these young men the language and literature of the Babylonian culture. They're going to be indoctrinated. They were to eat only Babylonian food, and they were to be trained for 3 years. And then it also says this. Also, they were given, these young boys, teenagers, were given new Babylonian names. So Daniel, who was clearly Jewish and Hebrew, and his three best friends were renamed. Daniel was renamed Belteshazzar. Now, later we're going to see in Daniel, one of the guy who replaces Nebuchadnezzar, his name is Belshazzar, not the same guy. Belteshazzar is Daniel, Belshazzar is the emperor. Hananiah was renamed Shadrach, Mishael was named Meshach, and Azariah was named Abednego. Now, what's going on here? What's going on here is they're systematically reprogramming these Jewish teens. They're saying, you're not going to be Jews anymore. You're not going to have that ethnic background anymore. They're shaking things up. They're destroying the foundation. They're replacing the godly values of Israel with the pagan values of Babylon. They have separated them from their parents, from their loved ones, their families, and they have given them all brand new names and new identities. He said, your old life, that's over. You're now Babylonian. Okay, question. If you're a 15-year-old kid, would you say that your life had just been shaken up a lot? Yeah. No doubt about it. You're never going to see your parents again, and your life has been shaken up. And yet, even though his life was shaken to the foundations, Daniel, this 15-year-old kid, grew into a great, great man of God. One of the greatest prophets in the Bible. And while keeping his integrity and his faith intact in the years ahead, in a hostile culture, he kept getting promoted and promoted and promoted. And he's promoted 5 different times. And he served and he outlasted 3 different empires of 2 different cultures. First, the Babylonians had taken over the Assyrians. And then he served under 2 Babylonian emperors, and then they're taken over by the Persians. Cyrus the Great says, you guys are all dead, but I'm keeping Daniel. And so he outlasts 3 administrations, and he, by the way, leads 2 of those emperors to faith in God. Nebuchadnezzar and Cyrus the Great both turn to God when they see Daniel's life. This is an amazing young man. And at 85... He's now retired near the end of the book, and they have a big problem in the empire, and the emperor calls him out of retirement at 85 years of age. Said, we still need you. And he does such an amazing job that the emperor says, I'm putting you 2nd in command in the entire empire, only to me. Now, that's a huge story. That's better than Lord of the Rings, okay, or Star Wars. This thing's filled with adventure, political intrigue, and all kinds of things. We're going to look at it for 8 weeks after this week. And it's an amazing story of how you survive and thrive and actually succeed when people around you don't agree with what you believe. Are you interested in that? Yeah, well, you ought to be. And it tells us how to do that. Now, we're not going to look at his life in detail this weekend. but we're going to look at the theme for the whole series, and that is, what should you do when your life is upended, when your world is shaken up by a death, a divorce, a failure, a bankruptcy, and 100 other things that could upend your life? How can you thrive in this culture? So what should you do when your world is shaken up, when the foundations become real unstable and unsteady and you don't know which way is up? What do you do? Well, we're going to start this journey with just three simple suggestions today. I told you we'll get into the actual life of Daniel next week. This sets up the theme for the entire series. First suggestion, when your life is thrown into chaos, when your world is shaken up, number one, don't be surprised by adversity. That's the first thing we're going to learn from this young man, Daniel. Don't be surprised by adversity. Now, although the collapse of the nation of Israel was shock, it shocked everybody, it wasn't unexpected, because the prophets, Daniel and Zephaniah and others had been saying, guys, we're going to lose our freedom. We're going to lose our freedom. We're going to lose our freedom if we don't wise up and stop all this idolatry and other stuff. And so as a teenager, Daniel had been hearing this. He heard these preachers. He could hear them in the streets saying, guys, we're being warned. We're going to lose our freedom if we don't do this. Now, here's what the Bible says in 1 Peter 4:12. Dear friends, don't be shocked or surprised when you suffer painful tests and trials, as if something strange is happening to you. He said, you know, shakeups are a normal part of life in a broken world. We do not live in heaven. In heaven, everything's perfect. Everything's done great. There are no tears, no sorrows, no suffering. But on earth, everything is broken because of sin. Every relationship is broken. Every body is broken. We don't have healthy minds. The weather's broken. The economy is broken. And so we shouldn't expect things to be perfect here on earth. And when something bad happens in your life, instead of going, why me? You might want to say, why not me? I live here on earth, and this is not heaven. That's coming later. And so there are going to be sufferings, there are going to be trials, and don't be surprised by it. Jesus said it like this, John 16:33. Jesus said, in this world, you might experience difficulties. Well, that's not what he said. In this world, you what? Circle that, will. Now, if Jesus said it, you can count on it. You will have problems in life. You are going to face adversity. You are going to have times where your world is tossed upside down and everything is shaking and baking and flying and you don't know which way is up. In this world, you will experience difficulties. Jesus promised that. But he said, take heart. I have conquered the world. He said, I've told you this so that in trusting me, you will be unshakable. That's the theme of our series. Circle that. You'll be unshakable and deeply at peace. Jesus warned us that adversity is going to be a part of life. Don't let it blow you away. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. But you need to be unshakable. I'm telling you so you won't cave in. Now, you know what the typical response is when you go through a crisis? The typical human response when I or you go through a crisis is this. The first thing we do is try to figure out who's to blame. That's the last thing you need to work on. Whose fault is it? As long as you're fixing the blame, you can't fix the problem. To blame is to be lame. That's how you spell blame. And so when you blame other people, you're just perpetuating the problem. You're not solving anything. Politicians love to blame each other. These groups and that groups blame each other. You know what? Blame is lame. Instead of asking whose fault it is, you need to be asking, what should I do? Now, just so you'll know, let me tell you, there are four sources of the problems in your life. You might write these down. I'm going to tell you in just a minute. It doesn't really matter where the source is from, but I'll go ahead and tell you anyway. Okay, there are four sources of every problem in your life. Number one is you. Okay? I am the biggest problem to myself. I cause myself more pain, more heartache from my dumb decisions. I was talking to Kay this afternoon, and I said, honey, you know, I want to talk to you about a character flaw in me I'm just really bugged by. And in a moment of clarity, I was just talking to her about this. And, you know, I think it's one of the reasons why I'm looking forward to heaven is because in heaven, I don't have to hang out with me, okay? When I get to heaven, all my weaknesses, all those flaws, they're going to be taken away. So I'm going to be the new improved me. So by the way, if you don't like me right now, you're going to love me in heaven, okay? You're going to I'll have no imperfections. I won't irritate you in any way. Of course, you won't irritate me either because all your hang-ups will be taken away too. But I think being in heaven is going to be cool just so I don't have to hang out with all my faults and flaws and foibles and weaknesses that I've had to live with all my life and you've had to live with yours all your life. But the first source of the shakeups in your life is your own nature, your old nature, which is your own biggest problem. You might want to write next to that Romans 7. Romans 7 is the classic chapter, explains how you are the biggest problem to you. And I won't go into that. The second source of the problems in your life is the world. The world. And the world, your nature is within you, the world is around you. And it wants to pull you down. And the primary way the world tries to pull you down is through ridicule and through withholding approval. We are desperate for the approval of other people. And so we will lower our standards and we'll change our convictions and we'll give in and give up simply because we want somebody to like us. You don't need the world's approval to be happy.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. If you'd like a copy of today's message or the whole series, just go to PastorRick.com. And while you're there, go ahead and sign up for Pastor Rick's free daily email devotional and be sure to check out all the other great resources available to you. As we look at the unprecedented things going on in our world today, it's clear that we need to be equipped with the resources to handle whatever life throws at us. That's why Pastor Rick has asked his team to make available to you a DVD study kit called Unshakable, which is based on the life of Daniel. In these 8 powerful video sessions, Rick teaches you how to handle life's most unexpected circumstances and extreme pressures, how to avoid compromising on what you believe is right in God's eyes, how to handle success, how to learn from your mistakes, and how to pray the kind of prayers that God answers. This study is perfect for your individual quiet time or in a small group setting. To get your copy of the Unshakable DVD study kit, just go to PastorRick.com or text the word daily to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or just text the word daily to 800-600-5004. And now here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Here's a testimony that was sent in from a woman named Marcia. She says, "Hi, Rick. What a blessing this radio show is. I am a survivor of the great white wave of mental illness." Well, Marcia, I understand that, and God is with you. Thanks for sharing that with me. She says, "Every day, first thing in the morning, I listen to Daily Hope. And I've texted your messages to so many people when the message of hope truly hits home for me. I praise the Lord for all your team. Don't ever stop. And I'm especially proud of what you and Kay are doing for mental illness. With love and praise, Marcia." Well, thanks for writing, Marcia. You know, one of our goals is to take the pain and the hurt we've had experienced in our own family and use it to help others. It's not a sin to be sick. Remember, your illness is not your identity. Your chemistry is not your character. God loves you. You can have a tender heart and a tortured mind at the same time. God is with you. And thank you for writing. And by the way, thanks to all the rest of you who write to me. And if you get a chance, jot me a note of what's going on in your life this week. God bless you.
Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.